Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording live from the Rosemount VFW to look at the community's efforts to support our troops, and we'll learn about Minnesota National Guard's Pink Tank Project. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard would like to salute two of our biggest supporters, the Minnesota Vikings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Both teams have shown their overwhelming support of their communities through programs, events, and fundraisers. They also show their support every year to our service members by hosting a Military Appreciation Day. The Vikings Military Appreciation Day is just around the corner on Thursday, November 7th. And the Timberwolves Military Appreciation Day is November 13th. On these nights, both teams make the time to recognize Minnesota service members and their families. I would like to personally thank both teams for their support and your service to this great state of Minnesota.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now, live from the Rosemount VFW, is the mayor of Rosemount, Mayor Bill Droste. Let's hear it for the mayor.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, thanks for joining us in Minnesota Military Radio at your favorite VFW.
It is. Thank you. It's an honor to be here and look forward to the discussion that we'll have.
Mr. Mayor, can you tell us when you were elected and how long you've been in office?
I've been in office 10 and a half years. This is my 11th. And it's been a fun trip, the length of time that I've been here. We're a growing community, 23,000. Seeing a lot of growth and having the headquarters unit in our city has been enjoyable time.
And you're speaking of the Minnesota National Guard's 34th Infantry Division, Red Wolves.
That I am, sir.
And do you have a special relationship with them, having the headquarters down here?
In the time that I've been mayor, especially with deployments, seeing troops depart to Iraq and Afghanistan and return, it's been a very honor to be around and see the leadership and the troops that we have serving our nation from the state of Minnesota.
And, of course, we've had too many departure ceremonies, but thankfully a lot of welcome home ceremonies, too.
So true.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I understand that Rosemount has a Veterans Memorial Walk. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Outside our City Hall, first of all, we have a memorial that shows the names of soldiers that have given the ultimate sacrifice to our country over our 155-year history. And just north of there, we have approximately a half-mile walk around a pond. We have a small group of residents that would like to make that whole walk a memorial to anyone that has served our nation, whether they're active today or served 40, 50 years ago. So they have maybe 100, 200 feet of pavers with names of soldiers that have served our nation. They're also looking for rest areas along the way to highlight the freedoms that we all enjoy in this country, whether liberty, freedom of speech, freedom of association, etc.
So when did you start on that?
I would say it's probably 4 or 5 years ago when there's a group of citizens came forward with the idea and partnered with us if we, the city, would support modifying this path and that it would be dedicated to the soldiers or military that have served our nation over the decades.
So, Mr. Mayor, in order to do something like that, did the community put together a committee and go out and raise funds?
You know, they're still working on raising the funds. Primarily, that was a separate organization on their own, and they're still working hard trying to raise funds to complete it. It is a significant price if it's finished to their fruition. And I'll just say I think it was around $1 million.
Big project.
It is.
We'll have to get Sergeant Ben out there to take a look at that walk and post some pictures on our website. Mr. Mayor, would you say that Rosemount is a pretty veteran-friendly community then?
It is. I would say our schools, the church community, our Yellow Ribbon program, we're fortunate we have VFW and Legion within our community. So over the decades, there's just a strong grassroots organization of support in our community.
A lot of the communities, I think, have to catch up with the veteran service organizations and need to. We've had a lot of the Commander's Task Force commanders on, and they talk about the legislative efforts on behalf of the veteran service organizations. And I think one of the things that they're probably working on here at the Rosemount VFW, and a lot of them around the state, is getting some of the younger service members in and adding to the numbers so that when they go over to the state legislature, those folks will listen to listen to their interest. Mm-hmm. Are you helping support that kind of movement?
I am, and knowing a lot of local residents that are involved with the military, quite often I will see them at various events or even see them at our Legions and VFWs. So it's encouraging to see younger members join organizations like the Legions, VFWs.
We're speaking with the Rosemount Mayor, Bill Drosty, from the Rosemount VFW Post 9433. On Minnesota Military Radio. Mr. Mayor, would you say that if service members are considering to moving to your community, what kind of benefits and services would you like them to know about?
First of all, it's a great community to move to. We're young. We have a lot of growth. The last couple decades, more than doubled our population. We have over, out of 23,000 people, over 7,000 are 17 and under. So the schools are great, 196. The church community, as I mentioned earlier, there's strong support. Our veterans groups like VFW and Legions are here. And again, I'd say most important, we have a very active Yellow Ribbon group with great leadership today that's just a great network that would support or is engaged with our military servicemen and women.
And we're going to talk about the Yellow Ribbon program in the second segment today, but were you instrumental in helping put that program together, Mr. Mayor?
I helped, but there were definitely a lot of residents and people that wanted to get involved, so it made it much easier because of the enthusiasm and the support that we have here in Rosemount.
So if your community members here in Rosemount wanted to help veterans, would you direct them to the Yellow Ribbon program or via veteran service organizations or all of the above?
All of the above, and I should say we also within our armory and community center, there's a family assistance group that's there. So we're fortunate to have that locally.
Well, we just happen to have the supervisor of the family assistance centers, Mike Farron, out in the audience today. Hi, Mike. He does a great job out there reaching out to all the military families that might be in need. And, of course, if veterans need some help, the first place you send them is a county veteran service officer and then maybe over to see Mike Farron and his people.
And I can tell you I've had that situation occur since I've been mayor, contacted by families. And today, now that I know the people, it makes it very easy, especially with the Yellow Ribbon and the Family Assistance Center, to handle a question or take care of issues.
So if the veteran families living in Rosemount needed some help and happened to call City Hall or call you, you know where all the resources are.
I do, today.
Well, it's always good to have Mike Farron and his people around because they have access to a lot of resources to help our veterans' families when they need it. And, of course, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs would tell you that the first stop for any veteran on the way out of being out-processed and getting off active duty is to take their 214 and go visit your local county veteran service officer. Have you worked with the county veteran service officer down here a bit?
I have. Again, I will say early on when I was first elected, maybe it was 2003 or 2004, I did receive a phone call from a a military family member, and they had some concerns. Their son was serving overseas, and they needed some assistance. And at that time, I did not know where to go. I did make some phone calls, found out the county groups that are out there, and found out. And it took a little while to figure that all out. But today, with knowing what they do, the programs that are out there, and the broad networks we have with Yellow Ribbon, it's just wonderful if you ever get a call like today compared to 7-8 years ago.
A lot of great support groups. And, Mr. Mayor, we got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk. Keep you here if you can stay. We're going to talk about the Yellow Ribbon program down here in Rosemount. We're speaking with Rosemount Mayor Bill Droste from the Rosemount VFW Post 9433 on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're recording live today from the Rosemount VFW Post 9433. And our guest from the first segment is Mayor Bill Droste, and now we're joined by Carl Xavier, one of the founders of the local Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. Carl, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Don't mind sitting there next to the mayor, do you?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
As long as he's on my right.
Well, the mayor claims that he helped you when you were setting up the Yellow Ribbon program. He's telling the truth all the time, isn't he?
And actually, that is very true.
Very true. Can you tell us when were you proclaimed Yellow Ribbon, and how long did it take to get organized?
Well, we were proclaimed in 2011, actually just about a little over 2 years ago, but we started 4 years ago. And I wasn't initially involved 4 years ago. I came on board a little over 2.5 years ago, but it takes a little time to get all the work done to become an official proclaimed city and a group. And we are now a 501c3, so we can raise money as a nonprofit to help our military service members and their families.
There is a whole process to go through. You have to put together your plan and make your application and put together your committee. And then when you're finally proclaimed, then you're off and running.
You are totally correct. And it's the governor and the adjutant general that signs off to make us proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon city and a networking group.
So can you tell us a little bit about Rosemount's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon committee and network? And what are you doing to help our service members and their families?
Be glad to tell you about that. When I came on board a little over 2.5 years ago, I actually came on board because I met Mayor Bill at a Rotary function and had mentioned that I was interested in the Yellow Ribbon. He slipped me his card and said, "We're meeting this coming Monday. See you there."
Mr. Mayor, you found a volunteer, didn't you?
and it was automatic. I mean, I've had military service members on both sides of my family, and I know came through the Vietnam War era. Even though I didn't serve, I got plenty of friends from that era. And our group has a real a great mix of people. It's got city administrators. It's got church organizations. It's got civic organizations. It's got parents of military service members. It's got former military service members, and just regular people like me, too, that feel that there's a real need to help out our troops in our community.
So the ribbon program down in Rosemount, I'm sure you're aware of the family assistance centers and all they do.
We have a great relationship with them. I know Vern and Christina over here at the National have been great about giving us a heads up about what service members and their families need help. And it's a variety of things. It could be a gift card for groceries or a gas card to put some gas in the tank. It might be to recruit us some Boy Scouts to go over and mow some lawns and do some trimming and do some painting. And we have done large things with the National Guard, involved with their Christmas holiday program celebration, helped put together baskets of food for some service members in the Guard. And we just recently helped a family who lost their father, who is a Marine veteran who passed away suddenly, and his son's in the Air Force, and he had to travel home from Colorado, so we helped him. We do a real variety of things, large, middle, and small.
So, Carl, how do you reach out to the military families to let them know that you're here to help if they need anything?
We do have a number that they can call or our email address, and also contacting the Family Assistance Center. And sometimes we find out families need help via the churches that they belong to, or we find out from a neighbor or a fellow service member that says, "Hey, you know, I know somebody needs help." There's a lot of privacy and pride issues. So we have to be very honorable of that, that you know, we're meant to help out families and not make a big public deal out of it. It's meant to be a very private issue for all of these families so that they feel comfortable in the community that they're in. We're not trying to use them as mouthpieces for what we do. We just go about and do our business.
Just quietly provide some help and let them keep their pride and move on with their business.
You got it.
We're speaking to Carl Xavier and Mayor Bill Droste from the Rosemount VFW Post on Minnesota Military Radio. Mr. Mayor, I understand that you went to Kosovo a couple of years ago.
You know, I did. It was back in 2004 when we had troops in Kosovo and had the honor to travel over there with Governor Pawlenty and quite a few business people that were supporting Guard members. So being on the ground, watching our troops in action, it was very interesting. And again, that was at the latter part of the deployment. So it was a safe environment, but it was still to see the troops and how they worked with citizens in various parts of the world.
It's interesting to see them in deployment and what they're doing and and come back with that knowledge. That did some of them talk to you about their gratefulness for having the Yellow Ribbon program here to take care of their families when they're gone?
We were in the organizational stage at that time, but that's probably the number one issue with any soldier. They're always concerned, family members, whether they're married or not, their parents, siblings. It's always an issue, the concern back home.
Well, we think when we have soldiers and airmen deployed overseas that we want to keep them focused on the mission. So having Mike Farron and the Family Assistance Centers here and the local Yellow Ribbon programs to support their families, got to make those troops feel good.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Mayor, I understand that locally we've lost a couple of soldiers in Rosemount.
Yes, we have. Two soldiers, Ben Kopp and Andrew Wilforth, within the last 3-4 years. So for every community, it's tough when a soldier loses their life or they make that ultimate sacrifice. So we, especially with Yellow Ribbon, we've reached out with those families just 3 weeks ago. Through the school system, we had a 5K run. Within the 196 school system, there were five men that have been lost within the last 5 years. So to have the communities across Eagan, Apple Valley, Rosemount come together, we had a run. I think there were approximately 190 runners that was put together at a short time period, but it was a way to show and tribute and keep their legacies moving forward through scholarship from the monies that were raised.
Carl, what's your future goals for the local Yellow Ribbon community here in Rosemount?
Well, one of the biggest things that we're working on is it's been encouraged that all Yellow Ribbon groups in each individual cities reach across the borders and communicate with each other so that we can team up on some of the larger projects. Some people have more money in their accounts than others, so we'd like to support each other when something comes up, whether it's helping the Veterans Home in Hastings or a soldier over in Apple Valley. There is no border. And I think one of the biggest things that we found out is we're sharing talents with different Yellow Ribbon organizations. Somebody might have a great advertising talent, a carpenter, a plumber, a painter. And we email back and forth, hey, who do you have? We've got this, who do you have? And we've been able to cross those borders and help a lot of families.
So between the other Yellow Ribbon networks, you're sharing not only resources but best practices, and how do you get things done to take care of your local military families?
And it's working. You know, 2.5 years ago, I would hear people say, Yellow Ribbon, what's that? And now I go, I hear people going, hey, oh, you're the Yellow Ribbon. That's great. We've heard about you, or somebody's helped somebody that we know. And our fundraising is one of the biggest things, too. We've done a couple golf tournaments over the last couple of years and a chili cook-off that now we're doing a second one coming up. And Apple Valley and Rosemount is splitting the net proceeds of that event so that we can both go out in our communities and help our families and soldiers.
Carl, we just got a few seconds left. If any of our listeners want to join the Yellow Ribbon program here in Rosemount, well, how do they do it?
Well, we have our email address is rosemountyellowribbon@gmail.com. or they can call at 651-322-2079. And you can also go to just Google the yellowribbon.org website, and you'll be able to find individual cities, whether you're in Rosemont or any other city.
And we'll have links up on that in our Facebook site for Minnesota Military Radio. Mr. Mayor, just about 45 seconds left. Final thoughts for our listeners?
First of all, I want to say we're so fortunate to have Carl leading our Yellow Ribbon Group. The fundraising efforts that we have done in the last couple of years and the monies that were raised and the what we can do with funds makes it we're so fortunate, again, just to have people like him to get involved and create that strong network.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
That was the Rosemont Mayor, Bill Drosty, and the Yellow Ribbon Coordinator, Kurt Xavier.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Pink Tank Project from the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs works closely with our federal, state, and community partners in linking veterans and their families with benefits they have earned. A few examples of the assistance we provide to veterans and their families include dental assistance, disaster relief, financial assistance, homeless veteran prevention and assistance, optical assistance, and much more. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org or contact your local county veteran service officer for personal assistance.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As we said earlier in the show, we're recording live today from the Rosemont VFW. And on the second half of the show, we're going to learn about the Minnesota National Guard's Pink Tank Project. And joining me now to tell us about that is Major Kristen Ogier, Minnesota National Guard's Deputy Director of Public Affairs. Major Ogier, welcome
Tom,
to Minnesota Military
Tom, thank
Radio.
You. It's great to be here. And thank you for coming to our post. We're really happy to have you here. The Pink Tank Project. We started conceptualizing this back in probably about March of this year, and we wanted a creative way to help women to make sure that they do their monthly breast exams, because what we're finding out is that women know about breast cancer awareness, but they don't always do those self-exams, even though they know about it. So what we did is we put together a Facebook site, and by liking the Pink Tank Project, you are making that promise, and we are also going to be sending out monthly reminders to do your self-breast exam. So with that, one of the people that on our Pink Tank Project participant, or a beautiful Pink Tank Project lady, is Sergeant First Class Brenda Woods, who is a 5-year breast cancer survivor.
Sergeant Woods, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Major, I was on that website today, and there's some interesting videos there that I would invite everyone to go to the website and look at those. And Sergeant Woods, I saw your video today, too. You were pretty strong up there telling your story.
Awesome.
Can you tell us how long now have you been dealing with breast cancer?
I am today a 5-year breast cancer survivor.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And can you tell us a little bit about how did you discover it and what you went through?
Well, one morning I was getting ready for work, and I just happened upon a lump in my right breast. So I called my doctor and said, "Hey, doc, something's going on here." And she got me in right away. She felt it, the lump as well. And so she said she was going to order a mammogram. And then I said, hey, doc, there's something going on with this left breast, too. We had been watching the left breast before I had a lump, and we were just watching it. And she felt that it had changed also. So I went in, and I did a mammogram. I learned during the process that there are two types of mammograms. There is a diagnostic mammogram, and there's a screening mammogram. And I did a diagnostic mammogram.
So most of the time when the ladies go in, do they just do a screening?
They just do a screening unless there's a lump that has been detected already. The doctor has felt the lump already.
Now, is there a big difference between the screening mammogram and the diagnostic?
Well, with the diagnostic mammogram, also is ordered at ultrasound. So an ultrasound is done right after the mammogram.
So it's a little more thorough.
It is more thorough. Because with a mammogram, the lump doesn't necessarily show up.
Now, it had to be a pretty scary time when you're having problems with both.
I wasn't so scared. I knew something was wrong. I thought it was another cyst, and I'll just get the cyst taken out, and everything will be okay.
Was there a history of problems in your family?
I was the first to get breast cancer.
Okay. And when you discovered that you had breast cancer, what type of options did they give you to consider?
Initially, the doctor said that I would have to do chemotherapy before surgery because I do have a tumor in my rib cage as well. So that's what they were noticing. But then they did more testing. There was CAT scans, PET scans, bone scans, and
sounds like you've learned way more than you wanted to learn about all these scans.
Definitely, yes.
So then did they give you the options to do a lumpectomy or a mastectomy, or what were the options?
Well, we were going to do the lumpectomy, radiation, and then after testing, I decided that it was best to do the mastectomy. I wouldn't have to worry about it. With my right breast, they were not sure exactly what was going on with the right breast, even the morning of the surgery. So I asked the surgeon, you know, what would she do if she was in my situation? She was kind of hesitant about telling me. I knew what I wanted to do anyway, but, you know, she just didn't want to tell me. So I said, really, doc, what would you do? And so she said she would do the mastectomy, because she wouldn't want to have to worry about it either. So,
we're recording live today from the Rosemont VFW and speaking with Major Kristen Ogier and Sergeant First Class Brenda Woods about the Pink Tank Project. And Brenda, how did your family react to this? Did you get good support?
I did. My youngest daughter was visiting at the time when I found out. I came home and I told her, and she freaked out, of course. So I knew I had to be strong so that, you know, she could be strong. My mom, I called my mom, and she freaked out. And I just told her, hey, I'm going to be okay. This is okay. I'm going to be okay. My oldest daughter, she's a service member also. Well, she's a vet also. So she was kind of cool, you know, when I told her.
And you have a whole other family, the Minnesota Army National Guard, don't you?
I do have the Minnesota National Guard.
And how did they pull together for you?
Oh, yes. The guys that I work with during the week, I'm a military technician. They were very supportive of me.
So did you tell them about it before or after you had the surgery?
I told two people in the shop. I think 17 was working in the shop at that time. I told the supervisor and the assistant supervisor, and I asked them not to tell anybody.
How did that work?
I don't think they told them right away, but later on I said it was okay.
They found out.
Yeah.
Now you decided not to have reconstructive work done.
Yes, correct.
And you're going to stick with that?
This is who I am now.
This is who you are. You're not defined by breast cancer.
Right.
And I would invite everybody once again to go to the website and take a look at Sergeant Wood's brilliant video. You did a good job of explaining what happened.
Thank you.
But now that it's behind you,
mm-hmm.
How's everybody at the Minnesota National Guard? You're just another one of the soldiers?
I'm just one of the troops.
So has your training in the Minnesota National Guard helped you deal with this?
the training in the military, as well as my spiritualness, has helped me deal with this.
Well, you certainly, from your video and from sitting here with us today, you look like you're a tough sergeant first class, and you can handle just about anything.
Sometimes.
Sergeant Woods, what would you tell the ladies out there that are listening about breast cancer and about the Pink Tank Project?
Ladies, do your CEF exams every month. When you turn 40, get your mammograms. It's once a year, or it can be every 2 years. If you have a family history of breast cancer, then do your mammograms. It usually starts about 35. So my daughters will start getting their mammograms when they turn 35.
So all the ladies out there, don't think about it. Can't happen to me. Do your breast exams and get in there and get your annual exams and be careful.
That's it. I didn't think it would happen to me.
Well, nobody ever does, do they?
Correct.
Major OJ, you've got a brave soldier here.
I know I do. And it's been so wonderful getting to know her and have her being on this project.
So can you tell me, how did this all come together, the Pink Tank Project? And did you really paint a tank pink?
No.
I saw it in the video.
No, that would be a waste of taxpayers' dollars, Tom. So what we did is we used photo illustration called Photoshop. So.
Oh, we got the secret.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. And the reason we use the tank is because, like a tank, we're strong but not invincible. It's a great way to show the strength of the soldier and the airman and all service members. But again, it goes back to, we need to do those self-checks because it could be one of us, 1 in 8.
Major OJ, it looked like you had a lot of good volunteers, a lot of good soldiers helping you in that video.
Oh, absolutely. We had 3 of the women in that video were touched by breast cancer. And the 3 women got to choose people that had supported them throughout their journey with breast cancer. And so it was great to, those ladies came together that morning, and we're all a family now, the Pink Tank Project ladies.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me that the Minnesota National Guard and our soldiers and airmen pull together on everything they have to work on, and they find a way to get it done, don't they?
That's right. Huh?
Hoo-ah, she said hoo-ah.
What?
A little louder, Major. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to another one of your cancer survivors about the Pink Tank Project. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording live from the Rosemont VFW post. What's your post number, Major? 9433. And we didn't tell anybody that you're the commander down here.
That's right.
And that your husband is the president of the men's auxiliary.
And my daughter's in the ladies' auxiliary.
So we've got a lot to talk about
in the
fourth segment.
It's a family affair.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been recording today live from the Rosemont VFW. In the second half of the show, we've been talking about the Pink Tank Project, and we've got a little clip right now we'd like to play for you just to explain a little bit about what it is.
We are breast cancer warriors, members of the Pink Tank Project.
I am a member of the Pink Tank Project. I realize that I could be 1 in 8 women that is diagnosed with breast cancer.
I am battling breast cancer for the 3rd time. I am 1 in 8.
I am a 5-year breast cancer survivor. I am 1 in 8.
I lost my mom, an Iraq veteran, to breast cancer. She was 1 in 8. I could be 1 in 8 too.
I could be 1 in 8.
I could be 1 in 8.
I could be 1 in 8.
1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. Our best weapon system to combat breast cancer death is awareness and early detection. Combat your individual risk by performing self-exams, yearly physicals, and medically recommended mammograms. Family history increases your risk. Talk to your primary care provider about early mammograms and genetic counseling.
Like a tank,
we are strong, but not invincible.
We've been joined in the second half of the show today by Major Kristen Ogier, Minnesota National Guard's Deputy Director of Public Affairs. And Major, the Pink Tank Project, the big project, what a video.
Yeah, it was really fun to work on. And so incredible to work with these ladies, too.
Sounded like they were really into it and looked like it in the video as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you brought another guest with you today.
Yes, I have Sergeant Cassie Majuk, who is going through breast cancer for the third time, and she's 28 years old.
Sergeant Majuk, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit, when did you first find out that you had breast cancer?
Sure. I was diagnosed the first time in 2010 when I was 24 years old. I found a lump, and it was misdiagnosed as a cyst. So after about 6 months, it had doubled in size. And so when we finally took it out, they had called and said it was cancer, and then they knew they didn't get all of it, so I needed to come back in. So that's when we started our journey.
That was a tough phone call, and you got it in the car and with your one of your children with you.
I did. My daughter was three, and she was in the back seat, and we were jamming out to Miley Cyrus, I remember. And so it was a little weird. I remember exactly where I was driving on 494 when the phone rang.
Tough call, and back to the doctor the next day?
It was. I think it was a sleepless night, and then back to the doctor the next morning.
And you went by yourself, didn't you?
No, actually, I took my mom with.
Oh, okay. It was the second trip you went back by yourself. I saw your videos on the website, too, Major Ojai. You've got several videos up there for breast cancer folks from the Pink Tank Project.
Absolutely. We have three people that are highlighted on their own special stories. So Cassie, Sergeant First Class Woods, and Coraline, who lost her mom to breast cancer.
So Cassie, can you keep going with the story? Tell us what happened. You got through the first time and...
Sure.
Back.
The first time we were pretty aggressive with treatment. We did chemotherapy, bilateral mastectomies, and then did the reconstruction. And as soon as the reconstruction was complete, I was doing my monthly self-breast exam and found a lump on top of the implant. So I called the doctor and said, I know it's back. I don't want a scan. Send me in for a needle biopsy because that's the most surefire way to test the lump. So sure enough, it was back. So we did surgery to remove the lump and then chemo and radiation. And then I had been in the clear for about 18 months. And just like I said in the video, I finally convinced my husband and my mom to not come to the appointment with me when I did a 6-month scan. And sure enough, I went into the scan or came back from the scan results and it was not awesome. So it was back for a third time, and that was this June, at the end of June. So they had said it had metastasized. So it had gotten into the bloodstream and it settled into the sternum and to the lungs.
So you're still dealing with it.
Right.
And you're still a member of the Minnesota National Guard.
Yes.
And how's your National Guard family been through all of this?
Incredible. Totally incredible. The folks that I work with at the Invergrove Heights Armory are so helpful. They know not to treat me differently. Don't lighten my workload because that'll just irritate me. Just treat me like normal. Just know that I work 4 days a week because on Fridays I go hang out in chemo. And bother those nurses, and then I'm back to work on Monday. But they've been awesome. You know, if I need to sleep in a little bit on Mondays or something just because I'm not feeling great, nobody even says anything. So
your family at home has been very supportive, and your Minnesota National Guard family has been very supportive as well.
Absolutely. I really think that I'm probably the luckiest person around because I have the greatest support system ever.
Both ways.
Both ways, yep.
Yeah, let's hear it for the Minnesota National Guard. So, Cassie, what advice would you have for our lady listeners out there today?
I'm going to echo Sergeant Woods and say that it's so important to do your monthly self-exams. I can't stress that enough. And I'm sorry to repeat you, but exactly as you said, nobody thinks that this is going to happen to them until you find something and you get scared. And once you find it, don't be scared of it. Just go in so you can clear your mind because it could be nothing or it could be something, but early detection is huge.
Major Ojai, where do you find these tough soldiers? I mean, they're incredible,
aren't
they?
They're everywhere.
I've met some great ones in the last 3 years, but these two ladies, boy, they're really brave.
Absolutely.
And they're dealing with it.
Well, Tom, I don't know if you noticed on Cassie's arm, it says stay strong. I mean, that says it all about all of our women, especially Sergeant Majuk and Sergeant First Class Woods.
And as you said, tell all the ladies out there, follow the rules, do what you're supposed to do, and make sure you catch it early, right?
Absolutely. And something that's so cool about the Pink Tank Project is that it has brought an awareness to the younger females in the Guard, too. You know, it's not just when you're 40 years old and you can start your mammograms. You just need to start taking care of this stuff right away and start doing your exams right away.
Well, things that happen to the civilian population happen to the Guard population, too, don't they?
Absolutely.
So we all got to pull together and follow the rules and do your self-breast exams and and get your annual visits.
Absolutely.
Major Ogier, any final thoughts about the Pink Tank Project? I want to spend a little time talking about the VFW, too.
Well, I want to make sure people go out to our Facebook site, the Pink Tank Project, and by liking that, they will get their monthly reminder to conduct their self-breast exams, as well as it is a promise that they're going to conduct their self-monthly breast exams.
And if our listeners visit our Minnesota Military Radio site on Facebook, Sergeant Hout Cooper will have links there so they can link them to the videos.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And I would highly recommend that everybody listen to those things and take this this topic seriously.
Absolutely.
Major OJ, we just got a couple of minutes left. You're also the commander of the Rosemount VFW.
I am, yeah.
How did this happen, and how did your husband get to be the president of the men's auxiliary?
Well, I'll tell you, we only live four blocks away, so it's really nice for walking distance. No, but I really wanted to get involved in the community, and I thought, what a great way is to come here to the VFW. Everybody that is a service member should get involved in veteran service organizations. It's really important. You look at our men's auxiliary and what they did here in September during the Vikings game. They raised $3,500, and they're donating that tomorrow to the Hastings Veterans Home. Good little round of applause for them to do that. And so this is what this post is all about, is helping veterans and their families, the community, and the youth here.
And the numbers from everybody that joins a veteran service organization add up when all the commanders and the adjutants of the Commander's Task Force go over to the legislature and start talking to them about veterans' issues.
You have John Hamilton that would send out the little blast email that said, all hands on deck, you need to call your elected officials, and that's what happens. When things are going down, it really helps promote the benefits or ensures our benefits for the future.
Major Ogier and Commander Ogier, I'd like to thank you for hosting us down here at the Rosemount VFW today to record the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks,
we just
Tom.
Got about a little less than a minute left. Any final thoughts about the VFW or
the Pink Tank
Project?
I just want to say it's great. It's great to be the commander here, because this is where I'm the boss over my boss, who's a lieutenant colonel. So
he's shaking his head over there. You're going to pay for that one tomorrow. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Rosemount Mayor Bill Drosty, Carl Zevia from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, Sergeant First Class Brenda Woods and Sergeant Cassie Mazouk, Major Christian Ogier and Commander Christian Ogier, Commissioner Larry Shalhoub, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we celebrate 3 years of sharing Minnesota's military stories on Minnesota Military Radio, which is now up to 18 stations across the state. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.